between the whole scene and drug money drama that my soul seen. Looking through an old screen while we roll green. Drink shots represent peppermint, pink snout, think flock. Through the ink spots to get a mink fox daily. Who the fly nigga, bet they say me. Blaze crazy and bring it like Phoenix AC. The poetic, don't set it, don't sweat it. Hitting hoes till they go standing bow-legged. Fat cat, Ronnie Cash, got a John Gotti stash. Put you in the body cast from a shoddy blast. Real talk, shed light on you in the steel spark. Got the brand new wheels park while you still walk. Spill thoughts, you dumb niggas make me feel small.
Yo, when you walk, kiss when you ride, you can ride, get all the fine ladies inside. I said you're doing it, y'all, y'all. Come on, look, you're doing it, y'all. Yo, they ready to rip. The whole crew gets down, they ready for this.
Cat of amaze, polo hat setting my way. The gaddies ablaze, the strange like rats in a maze. I'm known as a threat, blowing homegrown in a jet. Waiting for the phone to connect from Rona to Bet. Stone is baguette, shown as the set. In the zone, thrown off Patron on my wet. You owning the bets.
Hey.
And it's all real, this is what you call skills. A man with a stall steel like on Smallville. Turn it up, bang it till your walls peel. A window crack, I black off an endo sack. I wreak havoc, speak static, my shirt is a unique fabric. This is snake rabbit fur on a physique, faggot. Chinchilla, get money to my Ben Stiller. With opinion, friends funnier than Ben Stiller. I murder the track, no turning me back. I burn like the perm on the Mac to the currency stack, nigga.
Yo, when you walk, listen, you ride. You can ride, get all the fine ladies inside. I said you're doing it, y'all, y'all. Come on, look, you're doing it, y'all. Yo, they ready to rip. The whole crew gets down, they ain't ready for this. Yo, they ready to rip. The whole crew gets down, they ain't ready for this. Yo, they ready to rip. The whole crew gets down, they ain't ready for this.
Good evening, gentlemen. My name is Hal 9000. I became optional in 1992. Thank you.
Hello, hello, hello. Buongiorno. Bon dia. Back on Nectar Island for the...
Boitage.
Boitage, of course. Boitage. Sorry, what did you say?
Boitage.
Brazilian expert.
Yeah.
Indeed. So, August, can't believe it. The first day of the month, thanks to Seoul, just before, on another day in the Wonderland. And we're back with Nectar Island for the month of August. With a guest that you hear a bit, we did like a bit of teasing last month, and he's back, thanks to him.
But dragged him back.
Exactly. Yeah. It's just like forced him. So how are you, Raphael?
I'm good. Thank you, Sharath. Thank you, Christian. Thank you for having me here. Actually, this is my first time that I speak in English in a radio, so that's good. The second time.
Yeah.
Second time.
You already lied.
But it's first time I'm alone. Yeah.
So just to introduce, it's the filmmaker Raphael Ceribelli. Is that how you would pronounce your name in Brazil?
Yeah, no, in Brazil it's Ceribelli.
Ceribelli.
Yeah.
What do you want to shit?
Like Ceribelli.
Well, I'm Italian.
It's like
you know,
Italian. Yeah. My half Italian side is like Raphael Ceribelli.
Uh-huh. That's okay.
So I think we have also one of your friends on the phone right now.
Yeah. Marcin, we are friends since we were a child, and he's the sound composer, the sound composer of the music composer of
soundtrack composer.
Oh, look, yeah,
so he's got an angry soundtrack
he's a soundtrack composer.
Hi everyone, it's a pleasure to be here as well.
Hello, very Martin. Good. Is that like Martin Fernandez, right?
Marta.
Yeah, that's correct.
Pleasure. Thanks to Raphael, we have you also here, so hopefully we'll enjoy a great time all together. And thanks for the sound in the on Wreckage. I really loved.
Oh, cool! Thank you very much. It was a great process to go through. Very interesting production.
Okay, so let's go on it, because we were talking about the movie, short movie Wreckage. So how did, because you are friends, obviously, so how did you two meet?
Oh man, I don't even know, man. Do you remember? It's like college, I don't know.
Stormy night.
Yeah. But it's like...
maybe fifth grade or something like that.
Yeah. We did have like bands together. We did like... I think we have made some movies, actually, like more amateurish movie than this one. But in the last... in my last two short movies, Martin was the soundtrack composer, and it has been great, because it's good to work with friends, especially I think especially in these positions, like me as a director, and I need to know who my soundtrack is.
I suppose you can sit in the same room
basically he means that he has to be comfortable with getting to the soundtrack guy and say, hey, this is shit, you have to do it.
Yeah, and I did that like more than once.
Yeah, because if you've got like Philip Glass or Max Richter, yeah, it's harder to tell them this is shit.
Yeah. And if you don't have money, it's harder yet, you know, because then I can say, oh, I can pay you in beer or something. And
could you just give a brief introduction about the film, like what it's about and how it came about?
Yeah, sure. Like Wreckage, it's like it was a challenge in so many ways for me, because it's the first film that I direct that I didn't write, so I'm not the screenwriter of the movie. I am only the director and the editor, so I need to like it's a different process. It's like I need to like read the script. The script is from a screenwriter in Brazil called Alessandra Pajola. She's like a partner, and we did like the script, and then we had like notes on the script, and then development, and then we got a grant, like a public grant. Mm-hmm. And then we started the pre-production of the movie, and then casting. So the whole process. So the thing is that I got a movie in the paper, in the script, and then I went through the whole process until the editing, because I was the editor of the movie. So I lived with Wreckage for a year.
Yeah.
And it has changed in some ways, because it always does, right? The movie is like a living thing. So when we like once we step down the process line, like the casting and the location scouts and everything changes the movie in a way, like, so the final product is different. But I think like it was really it was a great experience to have, and then the soundtrack came afterwards, and then the movie got like rewritten in the editing room as always does.
You were mentioning to Christian before the show right now that you have more time on this one for the pre-production.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy the process?
Yes, actually? Absolutely. Like this is, I love doing it. I wish I had even more time, but this movie I think is the first one that I made that I have been through like the whole thing, you know, since like We had an amazing actor, so but I had to travel to meet him. Mm-hmm. Adriano Garib is like the protagonist, and so I need to create like I don't know my way of directing. I need to have a connection with the, especially with the main actor. Mm-hmm. And we created,
because you have the same name as you, right?
Who?
The main actor.
No, Ralph.
No, Ralph. It's not Raphael.
Yeah, but come it's on, true. Ralph, you know,
information. But it's different.
So basically, yeah, just to sum up, so the story is about a kind of a cartoonist who's kind of not in the best stage of his life. His work seems to be getting rejected by newspapers, and he deals, I mean, without wanting to give away the story, he's dealing with grief and with the loss of his dad, who died in a car crash. And then a big symbol is this beetle that his dad used to own. So how did that idea come about, and is that just something that sort of came together, or was there a clear idea behind it?
No, yeah. I think like so this is not my script. Yeah. So but Alessandra had a really good idea behind it, like, yeah. That is like, is this man tormented by his trauma and his relationship of his father and brother? They have like been. I think the thing that I like the most out of the movie is that we create little mysteries.
Mm.
That
exactly.
They're never closed in the end, you know. So because it's not like, okay, we solved the problem. No, the guy is a complex character.
I mean, I found the beginning quite interesting, because you're almost at first being led to believe that there's a young woman in a bar, and you kind of led to believe that she's going to be the main character, but then yeah, she's just sort of the introduction and she introduces kind of the theme of grief and losing a parent.
Oh.
But then yeah, she leaves after a couple of minutes. Yeah.
I love you have said that, because that's the first time that I hear about it. But yeah. It was, the intention was that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like that. She was the like the trigger of the trauma.
Yeah, because so basically once this goes on general release, people will be able to see it for themselves, unless they go to a film festival and they're lucky to see it. But the first scene is a scene in a bar where there's a lady who's a young woman who has her dad's funeral?
Her dad's
funeral the next day, and she's drinking and she's trying to get a ride home, and then she meets this main character who sort of is a bit dismissive, and he says, I can't drive you home, but then yeah, he briefly mentions that he also lost his dad, and then she stays over on the couch, and then she leaves, and then you suddenly see that this idea of the main character's dad having died seems then sort of develops for everyone to see.
Yeah, that was the intention. Like this shift changes. That's great. That's great to hear. We got that. That's cool.
Sort of briefly, where is it playing, or where has it played, and what festivals?
It has been two festivals so far. So one in Canada and one in California.
Yeah.
The one in Canada was called Red Line Film Festival. It is a festival that I think is only a filmmaker festival. So it's a festival for filmmakers of Toronto.
And extra nerdy.
Yeah, extra. Yeah, it's very niche. Yeah. But it's like it was good because we were nominated there for best production design. the award. And Bruno Marconato was my production designer. He did an amazing job. And in the next one in California was in Napo Valley. It's called Creation International Creation Film Festival. Okay. And we won the best drama short. So it's my first prize as well. It's my first award.
Congratulations.
That's cool.
Huge cash sum.
Yeah. I'm rich now.
And then so basically it's going on the festival circuit, and then at some point you'll make it available as for streaming for the general viewer.
The life of a short movie is just like you have to submit to festivals before.
Yeah,
and then afterwards you just put it online.
When it's freely available, we'll give us a shout and then we'll put it out on on our super influential social media.
Martin, you're still here, I suppose.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm just putting my phone on mute so I don't disturb you guys.
No worries. You have to disturb. We want to be disturbed.
You're here to disturb them.
When Rafa contact you, what was your thought? How, because he's a friend, it was, I suppose, quite easy. But did you like the project? What was your idea behind the music? How was the process behind the music?
Okay, so I had worked with him in another short film before this. So I kind of had an idea of how Rafael worked and what his vision generally was for a certain type of context or atmosphere. But, you know, making a soundtrack is a lot different than making music, let's say, for a band that you play in. Because you have to fit into a context.
Yeah,
and this context. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this context is designed by someone else, usually the director. So you have to understand his or her vision of this context to make something that will fit in. Sometimes you make something that you think is great, but it doesn't fit in with the director's vision of the whole film. Mm. So you have to see things from a different point of view than when you're just making music for yourself or for a band or for, you know, just for fun. You have to adapt to different points of view. So that's what I like the most, actually, about soundtracks. And I think that the challenge is very... very much related to this ability to see from other person's eyes, I guess.
That's why I need to be comfortable enough to say that I don't like that. I wish you can go somewhere else. And this is like the whole process I have to trust the person, I think.
So do you think, if this is a question of both of you, after the first short movie, was it easier to work on the second? And when is the third coming out?
Yeah, will you ever work again together?
Man, definitely.
Definitely.
It's like,
yeah.
There's a little bit of hesitation from Martin here. Yeah.
The thing is that, like, in the first one, I had no money at all in the first one. So in the first one, I paid in my own pocket everything, and I know, like, Martin, I know him, I know that he has like a talent as a composer, and he knows what I'm talking about. You know, he's not like a guy that
comes from nowhere.
Yes. So it was actually, I think I'm gonna tell his, like, he doesn't know that. I'm gonna tell him for the first time. Many people say that in the first short movie is called The Hunt. Uh-huh. The best thing about the short movie is the soundtrack. So I never said that to him before.
Cheers.
But it's a good soundtrack. It's a very good one. And in Wreckage, we had like more money, so more responsibilities. We need to deliver a better material, but it worked perfectly.
And who's the band that's in the first scene?
Oh yeah, the band is a local band. It's called Crappy Jazz. Yeah, they released an album in the same, like, I think they were releasing an album in the in the same like month where we were recording
at the wreckage.
Okay. And so it was the first time they played the song that is in the album is in wreckage as well. So yeah, very cool guys. They and the album is very good. Crappy Jazz is very good.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm gonna check it out.
So it's like a two piece, just like
yes. with it's like a duo,
heavy yeah. riffs and yeah. Sounded cool.
Question to my dear Hannibal here. We start the show with two tracks, and we're going to go on with another one from James Brown. What did we listen to? I think it was hip-hop. And
yeah, so the first one was, so because I've been listening, I think I was talking about this also the previous show, to this podcast called Crime Town, and it's all about Detroit. And one of the episodes finished with this track. It's by this guy called Fat Cat, and I think it was released in 2007. And the instrumental I thought was really good behind it. And it's and then I was like, who produced that? And I'm like, oh, Jay Dilla. So he actually worked a lot with Jay Dilla, and so both from Detroit. And then the second track was new track by Portico Quartet, and it's called Signals in the Dark. And it's a single that dropped. It's a single that dropped on Spotify. I don't know if that's going to be a new album or if it's just a standalone single, but I quite like that. Yeah.
Okay, thanks. And then, so what are we listening now?
Yeah, as per the boss's request, we're gonna play James Brown, The Boss.
Yeah.
Paid the cost to be the boss. Paid the cost to be the boss. I paid the cost to be the boss. Look at me, you know what you see. You see a bad mother. Look at me, you know what you see. You see a bad mother. Paid the cost to be the boss. Paid the cost to be the boss. Look at me, know what you see.
Opa.
See a bad mother. Paid the cost to be the boss. Paid the cost to be the boss. Paid the cost to be the boss. Cross the tracks, turn my back. Cross the tracks, turn my back. Turn around.
So back on the Nectar Island August version and session. I think someone can tell us more about what we just listened right now.
It was Theresa May. Theresa May.
Yes. No. I'm still here.
Can you tell us about the track that we just listened? Did you pre-see the election of our Prime Minister Boris Johnson?
Yeah, why is it called Boris Boris?
So, well, this song is about, I don't know, 15 years old when we first made it. So that was a pretty good foresight, I guess.
Yeah. Indeed, I feel like the...
So you were following his early career. Well, you guys are very informed.
I feel like an episode of Simpson, you know, when they saw Trump in the mall. And now you see him in the...
Exactly. You know. they predict everything.
And can you pronounce the name of the band for us?
Yes, it's Electroimãs Catalíticos.
Okay, and Rafael was saying it's the meaning is very nerdy.
Yes, it's basically the catalytic electromagnets.
Okay, that's yeah, yeah. I totally understand what that is.
Rock and roll.
And so you're the guitarist in that.
Okay. We have two. Yeah. We have been recording some stuff lately. This recording is from April or June, I think.
Okay.
And we recorded some other stuff two or three weeks ago that we're going to release soon. We have a gig tomorrow here in Brazil, in Londrina.
Wicked.
And we keep ourselves busy playing, mostly instrumental. Sometimes we invite some people to sing with us. But we like making our own music. That's the main goal of this band. We've been playing for about 15 years together. So not with the same people, but me and the other guitarist, we make the songs, and we've been playing together ever since the beginning. So the other people, they kind of came and went. But right now we have a pretty solid group. Very good musicians. It's very exciting to play with them.
And so, are your gigs gonna? Is it partly jamming, or is it? Or do you guys have like a full set list? Do you improvise?
No, we have a proper set list, and we rehearse and stuff. But our main focus in many of the songs is improvisation we all like jazz a lot.
Yeah,
so
sounds amazing.
We have themes and we create themes and then we leave space in the middle for improvisation.
That's that sounds good. Yeah.
So it's a mix. It's a little bit jazzy, but not totally jazz, and a little bit groovy and funky at the same time. That's the kind of sound we like.
Okay, so you're rocking Londrina tomorrow.
Yeah.
Cool. This was a UK premiere.
UK premiere, yeah exactly.
UK premiere, that's right. A pleasure.
Ahead of your UK tour. Every city in the UK.
Play with Latrimus.
Exactly.
Oh, definitely, yeah. We will.
So going back to the Wreckage, the movie, we talked earlier about the great production. It's nothing to give like flowers or whatever. I think Christian and I really liked, and we didn't talk about it before, the treatment of the color. All
right.
And I think one of the phases that we've noticed is the green and red colors that quite I wouldn't say strong, but vivid in your movie. Was it hard to play with lights and colors?
Yeah, I think this is like the part that I was talking to you about the time that I had in pre-production. It was essential because of that. You know, we had to create a whole universe for the protagonists, and how I think the main challenge was how can we create a trauma and put it in colors. So the red, the color red, it's always in your mind, and then we made an effort to put it in to kind of put it in a spotlight on the trauma. So the phone is red, that rings, and in the bar when he talks with the girl, they change the subject and the light goes red. And
also, he's always writing, drawing with a red pen.
Yeah, true. And then like and so all these elements. They have like it's just like a movie is like the tip of the iceberg. So I think we need to know, like we have to know beforehand what we're gonna shoot, mm-hmm. and how we're gonna shoot. But we need to have all the concept, and then shoot it. And then like 95% of the people don't even notice about the.
That's why it was important to know about. I wanted to know because. At one moment, it's not giving you flowers. You know me.
Thank you.
But I felt like an atmosphere of David Lynch, mainly when you told about this place,
in the mine.
And you felt that wow, it's cool, man. It's like because I think about it when, for example, people when we talk about Black Mirrors, I think we kind of inclined to. Comedy or kind of light stuff, and whenever we touch something a bit more critical or a bit more in depth, people are it's too depressive or it's too scary or it's too. It's like I love it. Mm-hmm. I love this atmosphere. I love this shot. So congratulations for this shot.
Thank you so much. This was like that's why it's good to have like meaningful relationships with like the DOP. And the production designer, because my director of photography, this whole nightmare stuff was his idea. And at first he said like, okay, we need to have a nightmare, but a true nightmare, you know. Mm-hmm. We need to be inside the psyche of this guy, because this is like we're gonna come to a point where we are not realistic anymore, and then the movie takes another dimension. I think it takes a psychological dimension, and that's what I like most of the movie, I think.
And yeah, just a simple question is I noticed that the original Portuguese title is Inventario.
Inventario.
So yeah, why did you change it to Wreckage in the English?
I just thought it was like more I don't know, sounded better, you know, and it has I think it has a lot to do with. Things that were left, things that were left behind.
No, for sure. I mean, Wreckage transition made sense. Inventario intrigued me because it's like, I guess he's taking stock of his life. It's the inventory.
It's just like he had to sign a document. And in Portuguese, this document has the name of Inventario. Yeah. It's like a document, the inheritance. The inheritance document. So this...
That you couldn't translate that directly.
Yeah, that didn't really make sense. Yeah. Okay. Because if I translated like inventory, it would be like all over the place. It's not going to be meaningful, you know. So Wreckage.
No, it works on several levels, like the car being.
Yeah, I really like this name actually. Like, I really like the English name because the guy is like. It's destroyed inside in a way, you know.
You said that it was a shot in your hometown of Londrina. So what does it mean for you to do it in Londrina? Do you have especially good knowledge of the area, and does that make it sort of a special thing to do a film there?
Yeah, absolutely. And it was like right before I moved to the UK. So it's like I don't know. I have been making movies since 2013. Documentaries. I have been like first AD in feature films, TV shows. But this one is mine, you know, in a way, because this is one I directed. So I wanted to do something like I wanted to do something with the local crew of friends of partners, but to do something that felt good doing it, you know, like that felt like okay, this is like a movie that I like. In a way that's it has a signature on it, and Londrina, it's like, even though we never mention Londrina in the like the city, we never like it's not a localized movie. The movie can be anywhere, but it is like a very big part of the movie, essential part of the pre-production production, and this is like. It was very meaningful for me personally, and I think for many people that work in the production was like a meaningful experience, and I think this is like, it's hard to make movies, right? So you need to take like the opportunity when you have it, and and that's it, and be a soldier of cinema in a way. So just take
work
the shots.
For it, Guerrero.
Yeah.
Talking about doing it another time, do you see yourself directing? I suppose it's the aim of wherever and whatever you do, but do you see yourself directing your third one here in London?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's.
I suppose you rock on it already.
I think I have like. I just finished I'm studying here screenwriting, so I just finished my first script in English, feature film.
So let's see, but
it's like making movies is hard as hell, you know. It's like there's like a quote from Sam Fuller that is like, film is a battleground. And it is so you never know when you're gonna get the opportunity of being on set again. But I think most of the success you have doing projects now, it's about resilience. You have to keep believing it
again and again,
and it's like there's so many things that can go wrong, you know. There's so many aspects of filmmaking, because you need to have a crew, you need to have like the good actor, and if you have a good script. I would love to direct something here in London. I'd love to do it.
I'm going back again to Wreckage, another certainly stupid question. Your main actor have interesting t-shirt.
Oh, yeah.
Are you into Sonic Youth?
Yeah. I am, but you know what? All the like the, as I told you, like this was the first time that I worked in with like a full crew.
Mm-hmm.
Costume designer was really good. It was really like she created that like we didn't bought this shirt. Mm-hmm. Like I think she created from scratch.
Cool,
Thais Blanco is her name, and she had an assistant, Adriana Lepri, and she like she made it from scratch, so it was like, and it is part of the persona of Ralph, right? Like he's like a grunge guy. He's like a guy that lives in the margin of society, and he likes to be there. That's his.
Has Thurston Moore's lawyer got in touch with you about pirating his shirt?
Yeah. No, cool. I can talk to her to send some over. Yeah, pirating.
That's good. Yeah, you should. Yeah, you should get. I mean, Thurston Moore lives in London now. You should get him to do a track for your next film.
Oh yeah. That'd be cool. Yeah, man. Who knows? I can meet him in Tesco or something.
I think he lives in Dalston. Yeah.
So that's good.
Talking about film, we have a massive loss recently. I think we talk about it quickly with Simon, our producer, right now, because it's one of the main actors of this wonderful movie, Blade Runner.
Rutger Hauer.
Exactly. So, what is your memory of him?
Well, I think I'm not an expert on his other films, but I'm sure I've seen him in other stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you like? Actually, you came to Secret Cinema last year. On Blade Runner, right?
Yes.
Did you like it?
Yeah, it was great. Yeah, I mean, it's a classic. Yeah, better than the new version. The
2014.
I thought the new one was incredible. No,
it was
visually
good.
I thought the new one was incredible too, but I think that just the old one, just the storytelling of the old one, I just really liked. And the new one just visually was very, very impressive. Yeah.
I really like the pace of the new one as well.
Yeah.
You know,
I thought
like the way that it was drawn out and you know, the Gosling was fantastic. I thought
it was all good. It's just rewatching the director's cut of the old Blade Runner, I just like the way it's so linear, and it's kind of it feels like a detective noir film, but like in based in the future. Whereas the new one felt a bit more sort of epic, I guess. Yeah.
And the soundtrack for the original was just, you know, the Vangelis soundtrack is just incredible. I mean, you know, really just, quite mind blowing.
I think just like the director, Denis Villeneuve. And he was very respectful with the original material, you know. But it's hard to follow something.
Yeah,
like
that, and you have to make it your own. Yeah.
So original and so like edgy in way,
groundbreaking.
Yeah.
But my problem with the new one, the only one. Actually, is a major.
Is Harrison?
That, one of the character. Actually, she's French. Oh my god! Again, she's telling us the story while we watching the movie, and I hate this kind of character in. Let's say I dislike. I dislike this kind of character in the movie when we are in a scene and say, oh, "Okay, this happened before. This is gonna happen now." Kind of put the main character in his own space at that moment, and it's kind of directing the audience to, I usually don't like when it happens. It would be the only point that I didn't like in the new Blade Runner, but all the rest, I think one of my favorite actor, which is kind of strange, but he started at the beginning, is Bautista, which is that the introduction with Ryan Gosling is one of the best scene in the recent cinema that I saw. So I really liked the new one. Rest in peace to our dear
Rutger.
He's quite top. So he's there. he was a
key character in a whole Guinness ad campaign, I think, back in the 80s.
Oh, yeah. Good. So didn't do that.
Fresh one after the show, then. So we're gonna listen a bit of I met this wonderful guy named Versus, and original name Gino, but I'm gonna call him Versus on this one, and is a beautiful hip hop track, Versus on Tropical. We'll be right back.
So we have just listened to Versus, aka Gino. Hopefully see you for more Black Power with Mr. Steve McQueen soon. I don't say much more. What are we going to listen, my dear Raphael?
Yeah. Go.
Oh no, sorry, maybe no.
I think it's just
Animal.
It's just some crappy jazz.
Yeah. some crappy jazz.
So the actual band is called Crappy Jazz. Could you pronounce the name of the song?
The song is Nomi V. It's like you can't see me.
You can't see me. Yeah. And the reason we're playing this, one of the reasons is because this is a band that features in the film Wreckage by Raphael, and Naomi Ve by Crappy Jazz. See you next month for more Crappy Jazz.
Oh, yeah. Not sure about it?
Crappy songs in other genres too.
Oh, thanks so much for having me, guys.
Pleasure.
It was awesome.
So the film Wreckage by Raphael Cherubelli at a festival, probably not near you, but at a festival soon.
In hell, to Austin, coming right now.
Yeah.